from ComedyFilmNerds.com with Graham Elwood.
The Floating Force of Pandora, ever heard of it?
And Chris Mancini.
What clan are you from?
This is the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast.
It's not that great.
This is not the ninja movie I signed up for.
Cousin Eddie's package.
Why can't this happen?
I got nothing going on.
Aye, you can tell by the wee sparkle in me eye, I'm as Irish as Patty's pig. It's St. Patrick's Day in the Nerd Garage. What better than to start it out with a really horrible accent?
Well done. Unexpected, yet charming.
Yeah, I wanted to throw a little curveball at you, buddy.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good.
It's crazy business.
We're in episode 49, my friend.
49?
Yes.
We are. Next one will be the big 50.
The big 50, yeah.
What do you... Now, is it... rubies you give each other on a 50th podcast anniversary, or what's the tradition?
Rubies and milkshakes.
Oh, I can't wait for next week. It's going to be rubies and milkshakes up to our
stirred
eyeballs.
With kitten hands.
Stirred with kitten hands. God bless you, sir. Well, should we do the?
Yeah, let's get right into it. Obviously, we got a bunch of stuff we'd like to announce. First of all, as you know, unless you're in a cave without Wi-Fi, you know what's been going on in Japan. And as you also know, we have some friends in Japan, some fans, and one of them, Sanai, just wanted to tell everyone thank you to all you fans out there who were very supportive and helped her out through some of the really tough times.
Yeah, obviously, it's still sort of tough there with all the nuclear power plant stuff, but like right when it
was we're in Southern California. Tomorrow is free x-ray day for everybody.
Oh wow, great. anyway, she was saying Sanai sent us an email that like right when it was all going on, a lot of like Dave Anthony and then fans, Aaron and Vanessa and Brian, the Movie Meltdown guys, Neil, Dave Anthony, and Doug Benson were all like there. So amidst this like horrible event, the kind of film nerd community was kind of cool to see everybody rally like
that. It was great. Tanai says thank you, and so do we. We really appreciate
that
too.
And as I'm sure you're already aware, if you want, you know, donate to the American Red Cross, you can go to redcross.org.
Yep, that's the best way to help, apparently, is to, if you really want to get stuff there, just go redcross.org. And also, we got a couple other emails from other fans in Japan. Andy helped him just kind of get through a tough time.
He normally would have like an hour commute, and he had to walk
8 hours.
8 hours. He listened to us on his iPod. So it's really cool to hear that. We appreciate that, and we're glad that this like silly little movie review show can
help
like,
you in some small way. But thanks again to all the fans out there, and God bless, and stay strong in Japan, and please give to the Red Cross. In fact, on our, because we've been doing a Smile Train promotion, even some of our fans who have been donating said, look, I'm only donating this amount because I want to give to Japan right now.
You know,
we totally understand.
Yeah, totally,
guess what? The accent can wait.
The accents can wait. Like there's no wrong answer in terms of what charity to donate
to. Exactly. You're not going to get it wrong.
So the fact that you want to contribute to whatever, go for it, man. So we appreciate that. We appreciate everyone's support. And Sandy, big fan Japan, we're here for you. So this show goes out to you and everybody in Japan. So let's get into... Oh, I got some crazy shout-outs.
Yeah, you know what? We've got a few, too. You want to talk about Afghanistan again real quick? Because we're still getting a ton of emails on Afghanistan. We're really close, folks. We really are. Please, we appreciate the support and all the emails, and it is coming. Believe me, no one wants to get it to you guys quicker than Graham and I. Believe me.
So
what we're narrowing down the problem. It looks like it's a server issue, because what's happening is when people download, it times out and you can only get part of the movie. As you know, when you get part of the movie in the download, you actually get none of it.
Yeah,
because you can't really watch it. So we're narrowing down the problem. We've got our tech guy working on it, and we're looking at hopefully in a week, two at the max, but hopefully sooner.
Beginning of April, I hope. I really
2012.
Hope. 2012. Don't say that. I will kill you. I'll segue into this shout out. We screened it up at the Northwest Film Forum in Seattle on Tuesday night, and it was cool. And watching the end of it and hearing the Q&A from people, nobody wants this out more than me, and people keep asking for it. So please, Chris and I, but especially I and everybody who worked on it, that probably grammatically wasn't correct, but you guys get the sentiment that I'm saying.
Sure.
That me
work hard on movie, me, want you to see.
Yeah, me happy, you want see. So patient for me, please. That's
a little raspy. You've got road voice.
Oh my God, dude.
Were you doing a lot of accents on the road?
I was a lot of accents on the road, and I literally
gargled with kitten hands.
Well, crazy shout outs to all the people that came to see me in Seattle. Like, we did. And I did the show last night. I got about 4 hours of sleep. I'm in the same outfit I wore on stage at Chop Suey last night. So this is how much I'm committed to doing this podcast is.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, I'm not showering.
Yeah.
So
ever.
Ever again. I'm never showering again. It was so cool.
Until the Japanese nuclear plants are rebuilt.
Yeah, until they're rebuilt and they put wind farms and solar panels up, that's when I'm going to shower. So, everyone that came out, it was so cool. Big shout outs to Tristan and Kevin at the Republic of Comedy Laugh Hole, who set up the show. They do this the first and third Wednesday of every month. If you live in Seattle, they're doing really cool shows. They showed some short films, and there's like a whole like crop of young comics there that are trying to build up a scene there. So go support that. It's a really cool thing. Everyone that at Scarecrow Video, if you're in Seattle, go to Scarecrow Video. They have 120,000 movies. They have in category by director, which is like so awesome.
Oh, wow.
Like go to the Wim Wenders section and, you know, pick yourself out a gem. And the podcast we did, is Scarecrow Video Podcast.
Is there a Rennie Harlan section?
Of course there is. No Michael Bay section. If there is, I would burn it down.
Yeah.
No, but it was really cool.
It's in the back.
It's in the
back. You gotta go through the curtains.
Yeah.
So you get embarrassed. Yeah. That you have to go.
It's above the urinal.
Right.
So it was really cool, and they're really knowledgeable, and they do cool stuff like, you know, they had like all region DVDs, you know, mm-hmm. So unless you have an all region DVD player, you can't watch it. So what do? They rent all region DVD players and even sell them.
Right.
So they have some really cool, obscure titles that you wouldn't get to normally see.
Right.
It was really cool. So big shout out to everyone at Scarecrow Video. And again, if you visit the Seattle area, you're a film nerd fan, go to that video store. It's amazing. A woman gave me a pair of kitten hands at the show at Chop Suey last night.
Did you bring them?
Yes, not here, but they're in.
All right, bring them next time.
They're in Los Angeles. They're amazing, and so it was so cool. Like the fans, the big film nerd fans came to the in store thing at Scarecrow, came to even Tacoma and to Chop Suey. So Seattle is so great.
Right.
We will be back up there May 26th in Bellingham.
We sure will.
Yeah.
Yep. Official film nerd show too.
Official film nerd show. Chris and I will be there. It'll be stand up comics and short film, and Chris and I will also each do separate sets. So
it'll be quite a show. This live.
Yeah, this live. More live nerdery.
More of this, but you can see us.
Yeah. Seattle is a nerd headquarters, man. Oh my God.
Good.
It was great.
Well, I really want to introduce our guest because I'm really excited.
No.
Okay. He has to leave.
Sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Great guy. This guy I've known for a long time. We've done tons of shows together. Not only a great comic, but very, very funny, and has done stuff, worked. One of the first podcasters, actually. And has worked with the Jim Henson Company. Please give a very warm comedy film nerds welcome to Grant Pachoco, a.k.a. Throwing Toasters.
Yay. Hello. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for being here, my man.
Did you see he waited until we introduced him to talk?
That was so amazing.
That's amazing. You know, he's very polite, Grant.
I don't possess that ability when I'm the guest on a show, so it's nice to see.
So, Grant, you've been doing a lot of local shows and also been touring a lot right now?
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of shows at locally here in Los mm-hmm. Angeles at Flappers in mm-hmm. Burbank. And it's been great. It's a great new club. And just working on kind of my own projects as well, the podcast, as you mentioned.
Yep.
And
we will definitely get into that in the special guest section.
Fancy.
But I think we really need to get into the in theaters right now.
Yes.
Let's do it. And you know what? I don't even think we're going to start talk about Battle Cole in Los Angeles. I think, would you believe Grant wrote a song about it?
We're going to go into the song before we give our...
I absolutely think we should just do the song first, and then we'll discuss
it. This will really help our viewers if
yes.
about what they feel about this movie.
Yes, well, and it's a war movie, sort of. So I figured I should write sort of a 60s protest song. that would be the style to do it in. So this is it. Well, the aliens landed right off the coast. And it turns out it was seawater they wanted the most. So Harvey Dent and Anna Lucia from Lost set out to stop them at any cost. And a Marine never quits, no matter how bad a movie gets. It's loud and noisy, but you know this, it's Battle Los Angeles. Well, they had to get out of Santa Monica in 3 hours flat. But even on a battle-free day, you can't do that. Did you know that this movie's based on events that are true? When L.A. had a false alarm air raid in 1942. Well, I don't know about you, but I'd rather have watched a movie about that instead of this boring and predictable piece of celluloidical scat. But you know, going in, what it is, it's Battle Los Angeles. Yes, you know, going in, just what it is, it's Battle Los Angeles. That's pretty much it.
Oh, outstanding. Right. Outstanding. Second guest to bring a guitar and sing a song.
Yes, but this is the first one to do a movie review in
that
song.
That was a movie review song. That was,
such as it was, yes.
That was great. And yes, it is true. The aliens have attacked, and that's a real movie.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into...
Yeah.
We all saw it, right?
I didn't see it. I saw Red Riding Hood instead. So let's start with you, Graham, now that we heard from Grant.
We heard what Grant says. I'm going to do mine in beat poetry.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Haiku.
Movie. Yeah, exactly. I will say this. This is what I thought Skyline was going to be, which is sort of, you know... a lot of predictable, as was said by Grant in your song, but like it was at least entertaining in terms of the dialogue is really bad, and there's a lot of like, you know, corporal exposition reporting for duty, like, right. You know, Sergeant backstory, tell me that again, you know, like there's a lot of that nonsense, but the fights, the action sequences,
the characters are crazy cliched.
Oh, that's so, I mean, it's, yeah. And there's a lot of like, we got to do this for Johnny, you know, like there's a lot of that, like, out of like World War II, like,
oh really,
movie, there's some of that stuff in there, but the action sequences, I mean it was like I liked the action sequences a lot. I really felt like it was like Black Hawk Down. I mean, in some of it, in terms of like, it was
so E.T. Down.
It was E.T. Down. It was definitely E.T. Down. You know, because it's urban warfare, and I came out of there like, I saw the movie with Riley Newton. We were working in Kennewick, Washington. Shout out to those people as well who came out to Kennewick, Washington at Jack Diddley's. And we both were like, man, we were like tense because it was like nonstop action. And they would stop for a second to like get into some bad dialogue. And just when you were like, oh man, it's like, oh, bam, 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 the bugs are coming again. So going in with the low expectations, and just like wanting a kind of Starship Troopers kind of a go shoot the bugs movie in my neighborhood, like that. There's
now, wait a minute. I liked Starship Troopers.
I love Starship Troopers.
But the Starship Troopers had some real kind of commentary and subtext to it. I'm assuming this movie did not.
No, it didn't. It didn't. I mean, Starship Troopers is a better film. But I mean, honestly, like I was like, yeah. That's what I thought this movie was. I wasn't expecting...
You weren't disappointed.
I wasn't disappointed. I wasn't expecting, you know, some opus. I was just like, all right, the bugs are coming out of the ocean, you know, in L.A. Let's take care of business. So I
that actually would have been a better title.
And, you know, and like you said, Harvey Dent and you know, Michelle Rodriguez, I'm on board with her. Always angry with a gun. Like, go for it. So
on or off screen.
Yeah, exactly. It was funny because literally 2 days before I saw this film, I saw her walking down the street in Santa Monica with like a friend and they both had yoga mats. And I was like...
Concealing what?
Yeah, exactly. A samurai sword. Yeah. and we battled. But that's what I thought of the film.
What clan are you from?
So, you know, yeah, like I said, this is what I thought Skyline was going to be, and Skyline was so stupid.
Now, Grant, did you see Skyline too?
I did not see Skyline. Yeah. Oh, you saw the great promotion at Comic-Con, but other than that, where they had the foam bubble people rising into the air as promotion for the film. But other than that, no, I didn't see.
So, in non-musical terms, what did you think about Battle LA?
You know, I just I get a bad time a lot from people because I have really low tolerance for, I mean, like I'll love bad movies.
Right,
like
right.
Because I love Mystery Science Theater 3000. Mm-hmm. And so because I've watched so much of that, I'm just like, oh, sure, I'll watch this. But I was just there and I was just kind of like, all right, well, it's this. But it just wasn't memorable. It wasn't like, I'm going to remember this, you know, like.
I'm going to remember this movie for 2 hours.
And the action sequence were good. I thought the aliens was kind of like, well, I've seen those aliens before. It kind of seemed, you know, like I was hoping for something cool and different, but it was almost like, yeah, kind of we've seen that.
They were already in the computer in some library.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, as I think we've even talked about on the show, like they made Battle LA and then the graphics guys ran over and did Skyline, and then there was like a lawsuit or something.
There's some stuff on the web on the exact things that happened with that articles, but the guys that made Skyline were effects guys.
Yeah,
and then they either owned a house or worked at a house, and then they worked on this movie too, and then there was a lawsuit on. That's why the release dates were a little bit as far apart as they could make them for the two movies.
But like, yeah, I agree. Like a lot of the alien stuff and how they take down the, like, it was just sort of like, oh, okay, I guess this is sort of standard fight alien movie stuff. But I will say, I did like the lead up to them, like, there's some meteor thing, we just gotta, and then it was like, wait, this is seeming more and more like, there's a couple of briefings in there where the guy's like, these meteors are slowing down upon impact, and everyone's like, oh shit, like there's a couple of moments like that where I was like, oh wow, that's kind of cool, like that when they take in
there was some good build up.
There was some good build up. Mm-hmm. There was some good build up, you know. So that's what I say about that.
What I thought was funny, I don't know how, you know, I'm getting into too much specifics about the film, but
spoiler alert,
aliens attack.
Well, when they get on the 10 freeway at one point to try and get out of Santa Monica, and then the only off ramp available to them is the Robertson off ramp, which was the off ramp that was destroyed in the earthquake that you couldn't use for years. And I just thought that was a funny, I don't know if it was an in joke or whatever, but I thought that was amusing.
Yeah. I mean, I like that personally just because there's one scene where when they get to the Santa Monica airport, which is like the base of operations, and the guy's looking at the map and he's describing like parts of Santa Monica that I know, and he's like, Pico Boulevard to Lincoln, and you're gonna find. I was like, oh wow, my neighborhood is up for grabs, let's do it. Like, so that aspect,
share the resources.
Yeah, it was just sort of a fun action, a summer action movie that they kind of probably wisely, I don't know what the numbers on it, how it did, but
well, it won the weekend, but not huge.
But I think they were smart in putting it in this sort of March, this sort of gray area between the dead zone of January, February, and the summer movies, it can have a, what did it do? Probably $35 million or
about
something.
There. Yeah.
It was a $70 million budget, which for a big action film, that's not that much.
Not these days.
Not these days. No, I mean, to get something under $100 million.
Well, you know, and these budgets, ironically, are actually they're going down because you can do more in the computers that you used to only be able to do with practical.
Yeah.
With cars and aliens and everything else.
And, you know, I mean, Aaron Eckhart's a star, but he's not like mega star. You know, he's not like, you can tell that
he's no Topher Grace.
No, he's no. You know, like, I don't think they you know, the majority of the budget seemed like it went to the actual production itself, not just like bloated salaries. You know, I mean, I'm sure some people got some money.
Yeah, they're, I'm sure if you looked hard enough, you'd find a bloated salary.
Yeah, you would find a bloated salary or two, but it's not as ridiculous as like the $150 million and $200 million budgets of like G.I. Joe and Transformers.
Right. Where, you know, it's right up there in someone's pocket.
Yeah, it's all in someone's nose.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Yes, Red Riding Hood. I saw this movie, and you know what? Dean Haglund actually did a really nice written review that's on the site, and I think he nailed it. And the thing I want to say about this movie is I went in with no expectations, and I'm watching this movie, and I realized, you know what? This is kind of a cool retelling, a cool idea. I love the idea of like a retelling of a Robin, of a Red Riding Hood myth, with a werewolf, and it's almost like a procedural, like whodunit, like, well, who is the werewolf, who's going to be killed next? And it was kind of a cool mystery, like almost like a supernatural murder kind of thing. And then here's where the movie went into the crapper. It got twilighted. Oh. All of a sudden, you have the lead, which was fantastic, is flanked by two pretty-looking actors, men, pretty enough to be women, I would say, who could not act their way out of a paper bag.
But guess what? Their shirts come off.
Yes, of course their shirts come off. At some point, you know, the shirt is going to come off, and they literally sink this movie, and I'd love to see the original script, because I'll bet it was much cooler, and this stuff looked really Twilight-y, shoehorned in. And there were some great parts. I mean, Gary Oldman shows up as like some crazy werewolf hunting priest. Yeah. Oh my God. Hilarious. Yeah. When Gary Oldman hams it up, he fucking hams it
up.
He's
always
interesting. He's great, great. And you're like, oh, I want to see a little more of him. You know, there are some little things here and there like, okay, well, that definitely looks like a set. And, you know, a couple things God. Like...
was so soundstagey. That whole movie was
It was definitely some soundstagey parts in there where it didn't quite open up the way it should have. And then we're watching Gary Oldman and his werewolf hunting crew. And every battle scene, they never seem to hit the werewolf. This is the worst group of werewolf hunters I've ever seen in the history of werewolf hunting. But ultimately, it was really an almost like a schizophrenic movie. There were some cool ideas, some cool acting by the adults and the young females, and some horrible, atrocious plot and script points and acting by the male supporting actors.
You know, I saw this movie, and it sounds like I had maybe a little more expectations than you. I just had expectations of it visually, because the trailer, I was like, as we talked about last episode, like, it could be dumb, but I was like, the trailer was like, visually, this is going to be awesome.
And you know what hamstring that? The budget.
Oh, God. Give them credit. They took the four cool scenes and put them in the trailer, because the rest of the movie, I was like, this looks like crap. Like, it was all sound stagey. I mean, literally, I felt like I was watching Twilight meets The Village. Like, it was just like, I didn't, and you know, and yeah, that lead actress is good, and I don't know why she left Big Love, because go back to HBO. Don't make these kinds of movies. Because it was just like, and it was so, like you said, it was so like, I get it. Twilight success. Like, it just felt like dumb executives going, we need to Twilight this up. You
Let's
know what
take
I mean?
This existing movie and, yeah, and Twilight up.
Get the Wolf
Boy. It felt shoehorned in.
Yeah, oh, God. Yeah. It was like, because the love story was so bad.
Because that's what young women really want to see. More passive heroines who don't do anything except, you know, look sad because two men are fighting over
Which
them.
Which man should I choose?
And one of them may or may not be a monster.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, and this is like what Laura House talks about.
Yeah.
Why she gets so mad about roles for women. It's like like this. I'm like,
this is the best I can do? A werewolf or a vampire?
Yeah.
I'm successful. I'm pretty. What?
I have a red cape.
Yeah.
Why can't I get a better man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does the mayor have a son that's not a monster?
I just like, I was really bored with this movie. And the wolf doesn't look interesting. The wolf looks fake and bad graphics. And I just, nothing about it's appealed to me. I was just like,
oh, interesting. See, I liked half the movie.
Yeah. I mean, Gary Oldman, I was like, but he was so not enough for me to even. Mm-hmm. Give a shit about the rest of this film.
Yeah, yeah, I was 50% on it.
Yeah, I mean, had they let, like, you know, had they taken some, whatever, some Frank Miller graphic novel about Red Riding Hood that somebody did and then make that movie, okay, but this, like you said, it got...
You can see the intention.
Yeah.
You can see the intention there. And like I said, I'd love to see the original script because...
That got hijacked by the Twilight.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely... It wasn't a dumb script. It was definitely... There was some intelligence and some plotting and some planning behind it. You could see the just stuff. They're like, oh, that doesn't go there. Oh, that's ruining it. Oh, these two look pretty. Put them on the screen. But they haven't talked yet. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Shirt
Get
off.
Get them out of their shirts.
Get the kid's shirts off. The kid can't act. He can barely speak
You know what
English.
Dean called it in his... In his review, called it Promise Keeper Porn.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
So you didn't see... Did you want to see this movie, Grant?
Yeah, I actually... out of Battle L.A. and Red Riding Hood, those I was leaning towards Red Riding Hood, but Battle L.A. started earlier.
Right.
So that's how I based it
You made
on,
a good choice. Like, of those two... Battle LA.
Yeah.
Like, to anyone listening, if you're deciding between which one of these, go see Battle LA and sing the song that Grant wrote.
Right. Now, speaking of Grant, I want to go into some of the stuff that Grant's been doing. This is the first time I've ever heard the word podcast was from Grant. And he goes, because I asked him a couple of years ago what you were doing. You know, it sounds like it was 20 years ago. It was really, podcasting's only been around for a couple of years. I said,
five, maybe?
Yeah. I said, yes. Well, what are you working on? I think
Pardo started, he started doing his, maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Right. And you probably started 6 or 7, right?
2004.
2004.
November 2004,
okay.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'm doing a podcast. And that's when I went, what's a podcast? And then Grant just laughed.
Yeah.
So tell us about your initial podcast and then your work that you've been doing with the Jim Henson Company.
Sure. Well, I started a podcast called The Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd. What it was sort of like an audio drama for kids and is time travel adventure. And based heavily, I think, on Rocky and Bullwinkle. And so it's just these, it's just like sort of a weekly old time radio show about this evil guy, Dr. Steve, who travels through time, stealing historical artifacts and then trying to bring them back to the present and selling them on eBay. And
What else would you do?
And Dr. Floyd is the hero, and he's always trying to prevent Dr. Steve from doing this. So we just started doing it. And really, we were at the time the first podcast for kids or for families, because at the time it was this great thing, like, we can say whatever we want, we can swear, we can do. So we really got this great following right at the beginning of families and kids of all ages who tune in and and love it. And this past year we did our 8th season of the show, which we've said is our final season. We're still going to do more episodes, but it's our final just season, because
full season.
We didn't want that pressure of, you know, once it got really popular, everyone's like, well, when's the next one? When's the next one? When's the next one coming out? And it's not something, you know, that you can, I mean, it's multi-voices, it's sound effects, it's music.
Do you guys record this like in a full studio or?
Just in the first episodes were in my apartment in Burbank.
And you did video too.
And we have done video episodes, yeah, as well. And so now I have a little office in Burbank.
Cool.
Yeah. I have a little office in Burbank where we record the voices there. But we've also been very fortunate to have a lot of guest stars who come do voices. Jeffrey Tambor played George Washington on our show. Don Novello, who was
Frank Conniff did one too.
Conniff, yeah. Joel Hodgson has done a voice. Stan Freeberg on, who was my hero. And June Foray, who was the voice of Rocky the Flying Squirrel and Granny from Warner Brothers cartoons, was Susan B. Anthony on our show. So, you know, we've had a lot of great support and a lot of great.
So you've been doing this now for like almost 7 years, and I'm sure obviously you did it for free. Are you starting to, is it like make money for you now, or is it like?
It makes money in that we can pay for the web serving, you know, the web hosting, and we can afford to have CDs made, because when we finish a season, we collect them all on a CD and then put those up on iTunes and and that kind of thing. So it pays for itself in that, in production, but we're certainly not driving big cars or anything like that. But for a while, we sold secret decoder rings and that kind of thing.
Cool.
And we've, you know, the fans are very supportive, and you know, it, as I said, it's to the point where we can kind of make more products and stuff. But
have you like done much stuff on the road and seen much of face to face feedback from the fans?
Comic-Con, yes.
We've done 2 live shows at Comic-Con, which were in one of the smaller rooms at Comic-Con, but still were full and packed, and it was a lot of fun because Sunday is their family day. So that's where we shoehorned in the family day.
In between all the Nickelodeon and Disney panels. They put them all on Sundays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we've definitely had people like, you know, don't start without us. We're on our way. We're just trying to get across the floor. You know, they're really... really big fans who get to come see us. And then we've done a few live shows at Dragon Con in Atlanta.
Heard about that.
Yeah, where we've got people who are big fans come see the show too. So
The reason I ask is just because that's the thing Chris and I have noticed, and many other comics that we know that have podcasts. And as I was saying at the top of the show, the podcast fans, when they come out live, they're so loyal. Like, I was just sort of, as I was leaving the show last night at Chop Suey in Seattle, I was talking to my friend, and I was just like, man, it was so, like, these people are so loyal, they're so excited to see it, and that's sort of the unique thing of the podcast, is it's such a one-on-one, it's such a personal thing, you know what I mean? It's like, you're literally talking to people, And
almost sounds like radio.
It's weird. I don't know what you're speaking of. Radio is a weird term.
But also with podcasts, it's almost like a secret because 99% of people don't know what podcasting is. You know? So if they find this great show, they're like...
And more importantly, 99% of people with credit cards don't know.
Well, honestly, though, when Jimmy Pardo was on the show, because he was like, again, one of the first like comics to just have a comedy talking show, you know, and he was saying he read some statistic that like I think it was in New York Times. It's like less than 5% of the population even knows what a podcast is.
Right.
So even though you know you've been doing your show for 7 years, we're still in the infancy of it. Like I still there's so many people just like don't know what it is. I mean the people that once people get hooked on them, then they love them. Then they're like, oh, I listen to this, and this.
Yeah, my iPod's full. Yeah, back episodes and stuff.
Yeah, like anyone, like my friend Andrew in Seattle, he commutes, he rides his bike to work, and he's like, so that's it's a half hour each way, so that's 5 hours of content that I burn through in a week. So he goes, once you're in that, when you have that sort of listening schedule or whatever, then you need,
you need content.
Yeah. And you're like, your fans are like, when's the next one?
And you don't want to listen to the morning zoo every day. That's why radio, it's an old model.
Yeah. And the other thing too, my friend was saying is, I mean, I know your show is a kid show, but it's still
family show.
It's a family show. It's a family show. You can still say whatever you want. And I think that resonates with the fans. They know we're not censoring ourselves because there's not some station manager or the FCC breathing down our necks. We're just like saying literally whatever we want. And I think that's the thing. They're like, they know they're getting an honest, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's an honest vision. Yeah, it's creative vision. Yeah, it's not like Red Riding Hood.
Grant, take your shirt off.
Yeah.
What kind of podcast is this? Yeah. My friend Tim Coyne, who was one of the original LA podcasters, he has the Hollywood podcast. Mm-hmm. He like put it best back in the day. He goes, you know, in this town, we're constantly going, please, can you make this thing? Can I do this? Can I? And with podcasting, you just do it.
It is the most empowering thing. Yeah. Like, the first podcast I ever did was about 4 or 5 years ago. I did this one called Comics in Combat, and it was for one of these, I don't think it's still around, it was called the Now Live Network, which was like an online, they were trying to make like a social networking podcast. So like if you had a podcast, then you'd have your own page of your podcast. Mm-hmm. And it was an innovative idea. Just, I don't know, podcasting just hadn't taken off at the time.
It might have been too soon.
I think it was. Yeah. I think it was too soon. Like, there wasn't an iPhone.
Because there are networks like that now, Mevio or whatever.
But there wasn't the delivery system. There wasn't the iPhone hadn't come out yet.
There were no apps.
Yeah, there was no apps.
I mean, we have our own app now.
Yeah, there was none of that. And so I remember doing it, and even at the time, I didn't get it. I was like, I'm going to this studio, and I'm not getting paid. And yeah, it's cool. I interviewed.
No, you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was going on.
So, but the thing I didn't realize at the time that I realize now is just the direct interaction and how fans just are like immediately resonate with it. And I'd love to go back and do that podcast because it was cool. We tried to make it and we shot a pilot of it. Comics in Combat, what I would do is I would interview other comedians that had been into Afghanistan or Iraq, and we would share stories about what it was like being over there. And people loved it. But again, no one knew about it. I mean, less than...
Well, I'm sure it's archived somewhere. You could get
it's probably
now.
Online somewhere. If you guys find it, let me know.
Now, Grant, you've also been working on and off with the Jim Henson Company. What have you been doing with them?
Yeah, actually, I do their podcast for the Jim Henson Company, the official Henson...
Now, what's a podcast?
You don't need an iPod. So just a few years ago, I think it was like in 2006, I just went to them, I go, you guys should do a podcast. And they were like, well, we would never do this. We don't know. And I had, kind of done a little pitch for them. And then like 2 weeks later, they were like, hey, we want to do a podcast. Can you help us too? So it's been a lot of fun. And I mean, it's certainly focused on the Jim Henson Company, but I've got to interview a lot of really fantastic people, like Pete Brook, who is the head of Jim Henson's Creature Shop, and just talk to him about all the different projects the Creature Shop has worked on. It's really been fantastic.
So is it just like an interview-based like show?
The most part. I mean, every once in a while, we get to do a couple creative things. I'll pitch him a creative idea, and we did the little puppet short called Copy Security, which is on YouTube too, but it's just a little short with a puppet. And I think it's the kind of thing that people would think would come from the Jim Henson Company,
How often do you guys do it?
We try to do it every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. This we've released two already this month, so we're kind of off that schedule. But but we do every 2 weeks, and we try to alternate between video and audio. Mm-hmm. So like one video one we did was where we the Skeksis from Dark Crystal, those you know, kind of mm-hmm. bird-like creatures from Dark Crystal, they have three or four of them around the lot. But they fall apart because they're not built to last the test of time. So we did a whole thing on how they restore them and how the process of doing that. And then the last one we did was an audio interview with Fred Newman from Prairie Home Companion, the guy who does all the sound effects, because he starred in a pilot that Jim Henson did back in the 80s that was only ever aired once and it never went anywhere. So, but it was cool to interview him about that, and he talked about working with Jim Henson and all that.
What do you guys talk about? Like, what is the Jim Henson Company, what are they working on now? Like, what's upcoming?
Yeah, like Sid the Science Kid, which is on mm-hmm. PBS, and that is digital puppetry. So it is puppetry, but it's computer animation puppetry. And yeah, whatever projects they have coming up, that's what we talk about.
So what's the name of this if our fans want to find this show?
It's the Henson.com podcast. So it's at Henson.com, but search iTunes for it because there's no link from the main page at the Henson website because, well, for various reasons. But or if you go to Henson.com/podcast.php.
Oh, yeah, people will remember that.
Write that down.
Yeah, just search iTunes for the Henson podcast.
But what's the most exciting thing that they have coming up that they're working on?
It's a Twilight style
puppet movie.
Yeah. Kermit is a
meets Dark Crystal.
There's various things. I mean, the big thing right now is they have Sid the Science Kid and Dinosaur Train, which are both on PBS. So
aren't they working on a new Muppet movie?
Well, that's not the Jim Henson Company. That's the Jim Henson Company sold the Muppets to Disney. So Disney is doing a new Muppet movie, but the Jim Henson Company is not. Although they did shoot scenes for it on the lot.
It'd be like Kermit the Frog and the Toy Story 3 gang. Just
well, actually, I do.
Hey,
think,
Woody.
I think that's from what Kermit I heard, and this is not speaking from any point in the Jim Henson Company, but just from being a fan of the Muppets, and what I read was that Pixar did look at the script of the new Muppet movie too.
I would be interested in seeing.
So now, what did Henson retain? They retained the Sesame Street Muppets, though, right?
No, well, that's the Children's Television Workshop.
So Henson didn't retain any of this?
Well, no, they have the Fraggles for like Fraggle Rock.
Okay, what about the famous Muppets, like the A-list Muppets? Did they retain?
Disney. No,
Disney has Kermit and Miss Piggy and all those.
Yeah, but Jim Henson, before he passed away, he thought, what better way? Like Disney's characters live on. They live on
sure,
forever. So
sure.
If I sell my characters to Disney, they'll live on forever.
Right, right.
And so, I mean, that's what I've always heard. And again, I'm not speaking in any sort of official capacity.
Sure, but, you know, the Creature Shop, all that stuff, like, that's still Henson Company.
Right. And they work on a lot of projects. Like, the Creature Shop did stuff for Where the Wild Things Are.
Right.
They did CeeLo Green's performance at the Grammys. Those puppets mm-hmm. were the Jim Henson Company. And they actually did...
Did they make a CeeLo Green puppet?
Yeah. They did not, no. But they made Lady Gaga's egg that Lady Gaga got out of. So
that's where else awesome. Would you go?
Yeah,
you know, if you're Lady Gaga and you need a giant egg made, there's only one place to go. Well, call me, get me Henson's Creature Shop.
Get me the egg people at Henson.
And when they're working on that, you know, like the week before the Grammys, I go, has no one seen Spinal Tap? Like, what's she's going to get stuck in this and not be able to to get out? But it worked perfectly on, you know, of course. So.
No one seen Spinal Tap.
It's hilarious.
Nobody listens.
Should we go into DVDs?
Let's go into DVDs.
Some good stuff coming out. The Fighter, finally, on DVD. Great movie. Have you seen The Fighter?
I've not seen it.
You'll enjoy it a lot. We've been talking about it a lot. Great movie, great performance. Christian Bale, more than worthy of the Oscar.
Yeah, he earned the Oscar, and if you haven't seen it, go see why.
I wanted to take it away from him when he pushed that Welsh accent.
That was a fake accent. Yeah, I thought I did bad accents. It was horrible. Yeah, like, LA, I won an award, I did.
Just talk right and take the award.
Yeah, talk like an American. Yeah. Stop with your nonsense.
So worth seeing.
The only time he should use a British accent is when he's swearing at somebody on a set. You know, he's just talking an American accent like Bruce Wayne, and then just, yeah, blimey, motherfucker, if you get off my bloody whatever.
Oh, that would get a million hits in a second on YouTube.
Oh, God, do it. You need more YouTube hits, yeah. Mr. Bale.
The next movie, very odd and ironic release date, Hereafter, with the giant tsunami that comes through.
Hereafter
is... This is the Clint Eastwood-directed movie with Matt Damon that has the big scene with the giant tsunami, and I believe it's even in... Asia or somewhere.
Right. I think it is the Indonesian tsunami is right. What it happens, which was, mm-hmm. What was that, 2004 or something mm-hmm. like that, 2005. So, wow. Yeah, that's...
Now, the movie itself, you said it was a little slow.
It is a little slow. I think... I remember when this movie came out, we talked about it at the episode we recorded at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington. And in talking to some of the fans that were at that show, I guess the thing that missed the mark for me was just, again, and I freely admit this, I just went in there with bigger expectations and I just wanted more of Matt Damon's story.
Right.
Because it was pretty interesting to me how...
It's too segmented, you were saying.
It was too segmented. I understand they needed to tell these other stories because it's all these people who have... develop these sort of abilities or whatever. But Matt Damon, I mean, it speaks well of Matt Damon because he's such a compelling actor, but his character in that film, you know, can't have relationships because he knows all this stuff and you know, he meets someone and can like, oh, you were molested or whatever. And it's like, mm-hmm. how can you have a relationship with someone? And I just kind of wanted a little more of that. It's still a good movie. Again, it's like we've said this about really solid filmmakers like Clint Eastwood. I'll watch him miss the mark any day of the
sure,
week.
Sure, it's still worth your time.
It's still a good movie.
The Switch, this is that comedy, I believe, with Jason Bateman. And
where he switches
the...
Is it Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, possibly.
Sure. It's one of those girls.
Yeah.
I saw this movie. Jason Bateman's funny. He's one of those guys.
I like him.
In my opinion, he's always funny. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know... Actually,
is it worth a view on DVD?
Yeah, it is. If you want to rent some movie, just like stay at home, sit on the couch, and not really mm-hmm. get into anything too crazy. What right. does this okay. Switch is fine for that?
Now we have opening this week. This is an interesting list because I think the trailers are playing a part in these movies, and I think the trailers are not doing possibly these movies justice, either good or bad. Because when I looked at this list and I saw the trailers, I'm like, I don't know. Now, Grant, you know, now this is a place where none of us have seen these movies, so feel free to jump in on these. The first movie is Paul. That's the Shaun of the Dead guys about the alien running around. Now, the trailer makes it look pretty dumb, but I'm hearing from fans in the UK who have seen it, and these guys are really good and they know what they're doing. It's definitely worth a look. I think the trailer is dumbing it down, so I'm going to go in with an open mind. I think it might be okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I guess I still have residual Green Hornet flashbacks.
Okay,
to where
fair enough.
When
fair
I hear
enough.
Seth Rogen's voice, I'm like, oh god, you're not funny.
Yeah, but he was not the creative force behind this movie.
No, he wasn't, and he has been funny in plenty of other movies, even though the Green Hornet is an abomination to humankind.
Right. What do you think about Paul?
I mean, Shaun of the Dead was something I never saw in theaters, and then got it on $9 at Target, and mm-hmm. thought it was the best $9 I ever spent in the entire world. I love that film, and I loved Hot Fuzz, but with Paul, it's not the same director, right? It's not Edgar Wright who's directing it, who directed mm-hmm. Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz. So I'm like, okay, I'll see this, but I don't know, because it just seems that they're a really great team, those three guys together. And if you watch some of the commentary stuff for Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, the amount of planning that goes into the film, how things cross-reference each other, like they have flip charts and everything. It's right. crazy. So I love both of the Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, mm-hmm. but I'm hoping that it is funny, you know?
Yeah.
I'll go to it hoping that it lives up to those two.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt your theory, Chris, that mm-hmm. it is a legitimately funny movie that, again, the studio marketing department just like made it stupid because they don't know what they're doing.
Right,
they
or make it like, hey, we'll get the kids to go see this movie.
Yeah, you know? Funny aliens.
Right, exactly. He's wearing pants.
Mars needs moms.
Next movie, Limitless. This is the Bradley Cooper movie. And I got to say, this movie, I love the premise of this movie.
It's a great
I'm
premise.
Actually really excited to see this. Like, who wouldn't take a pill
yeah.
to make you rich and famous? And then what happens when you have to pay for it?
Yeah.
That's great. Great premise.
And I love, I'm anxious to see like Robert De Niro play kind of a bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and because you so want... You know, you want to see more Robert De Niro.
Want to see him arranged, have him do different things.
Yeah, not just, you know,
Robert De Niro.
88 minutes and some yeah. of these other movies he's done recently. But I like Bradley Cooper. I think it'll be. Mm-hmm. I think that's that movie. I'm actually like I'm anxious to see.
He should have been Green Lantern.
Oh man, God! Would he have been a great Green Lantern?
Yeah, it was close.
Seth Rogen, I want to be Green Lantern. You're not good enough.
Oh
to
no,
do
Green
it.
Hornet.
Whatever.
Yeah, but he was him instead of Ryan Reynolds. I think he would have made it better.
Or Seth Rogen.
Or Seth Rogen. Anybody.
Any of the greens.
Yeah, yeah. Any Green Arrow would have been fine. anything on Limitless?
No, their big viral promotion thing that they did where there was that video where the guy supposedly hacked the screens in Times Square to show video from his iPhone, and it turns out it was just a big marketing ploy for Limitless.
That is amazing. I didn't know that because literally Tristan, one of the comics who set up the show, I just did a Chop Suey, was telling me he had read that some guy cracked the thing, and it actually was just a hoax that...
Yeah, because on the big screen, when he puts up this balloon that supposedly has this transmitter that's going to hack it, the promo that's playing before he hacks it and after he hacks it is Limitless. And like, you know, as it flickers in and out, it's scenes from the film. And and it came out, I think it was today. I was reading an article about it, about how
smart.
It was just a
really
a
smart.
Yeah.
That's clever marketing.
It is.
You know what I
it
mean?
Is.
Like to take a page out of that book.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to, market your movie, act like a terrorist. Yeah. That's great. Works so well for the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie. anyway, the next one is The Lincoln Lawyer. Now, this is another one where the trailer pretty much shows you the first 40 to 50 minutes of the movie. I'm like, okay, well, now I don't have to come in for the first hour. I know what's happening.
That made me so mad. I mean, it's based on a Michael Clayton book? Is that correct? Or it's based on a...
It's based on
I forget the name
or author,
but not the same author, but it's I'm so tired. Anyway, it's they do say it's based on an author who's
based on Franklin W. Dixon, the Hardy Boys writer.
Yes, yeah. It's a Hardy Boys remake, and it's going to be tremendous. The first 30 seconds of the trailer, I'm like, oh, this could be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and then they show me the whole film, and I was like, I don't need to see it.
Yeah, now, okay, well, now just show me the end. You can go in for the last 30 minutes. But I like the premise, way too much in the trailer, and don't know how it's going to play.
But I do know that the studios really put a lot of effort into getting Matthew McConaughey on the Oscars to present.
Yeah, they sure did. Like, oh. Yeah, and there's no question. There was a little marketing ploy there.
Oh, God.
All right, make him look charming. Damn it, make him look charming.
Did he pull up in an old Lincoln for the red carpet? Is that how I got there?
And the next one is Win-Win, is the Paul Giamatti movie where he's like moonlights as a high school coach and has to do with wrestling and scams. And, you know, he's always fun to watch. So I don't know.
I'm excited.
So this one could be good.
Like, I saw it. My first thing was like, I get it. Paul Giamatti, you... do independent films. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's always good at them. Like Barney's version.
That's why he does them.
I know. And God bless him for, like, it sounds like, you know, he's such like an actor's actor that he's like, I just want to do interesting scripts. You know, have you seen the trailer for this?
I have not.
He was so good in American Splendor. I just keep thinking of that movie. Like, if there was ever a role made for Paul Giamatti, that was him. And it was based on a real guy that was like Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. It's, I mean, again, like, and I recommend this too. If you haven't seen Barney's version, it's got very limited release. See it. He's very good in
it. See it after American Splendor, though.
Yeah. Yeah. American Splendor. That's his film. And Judah Friedlander's great in American Splendor.
He is. Yeah. Yeah.
Who'd have known?
All right. We got some wrap-ups to do. Now, Grant, what have you got coming up, and how can people get a hold of you?
Well, you can go to MrGrant.com, MRGRANT.com, and that has links to Throwing Toasters, which is my music, and the Dr. Floyd, and the Henson podcast. All of it is there. So,
you don't have to go to Henson/podcast/PHP.
That'd be easy. /gov, upstart, ORG.
/no Muppets.
Anymore.
Kermit doesn't live here. .net.
So that's where you can go find all my stuff is there.
Oh, great. Cool. And you're on Twitter and Facebook?
I'm on Twitter, Toaster Boy on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And Facebook as well. Yeah, all over.
Great.
Cool. Go on the internet.
Go on the internet and you find Grant.
Track him down. Me down. what else have we got, my friend?
We have, you and I are doing a little 7-minute set.
Oh, I can't do that.
Oh, you canceled it?
Yeah.
Nice. So I will be doing a 7-minute set for free this Saturday at Rocket Video.
Yeah,
so
I had to pick up another gig. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, another gig that's going on in your house.
Yeah, there's a show going on.
It's right next to the television.
Yeah, It involves my microwave and
popcorn.
Popcorn.
I just got a call for that show. I think I'm doing that. I'm opening for that show.
The microwave show on my couch? Yeah, it's great.
I'm opening the Pop-Tart.
Yeah, he is. And he's going to sing a song about it. Yeah. It's going to be really exciting. I brought over the ginger ale for movie night. So it's going to be...
All right, so I will be there by myself. I'm Rocket Video this Saturday. It actually should be a good show. It's actually in a video store, so it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And next week I will be in the Las Vegas at the Harrah's Improv from Tuesday through Sunday. Mm-hmm. And as always, you know, people, you guys are starting to buy more stuff in the store. We really appreciate it. In fact, like we have a lot of Stephanie's books, like Sippy Cups Are Not for Chardonnay. And you guys are starting to buy it with my book for new parents. It's the best thing for a new parent is buy my book and Stephanie's book. And then you got the guy and the gal perspectives taken care of.
Yeah.
And we'll sign and personalize them for you.
Yeah, and also Henry Phillips' movie, Punching the Clown, is available, as is, you know, Doug Benson CDs. Doug and I will be in Charlotte on Friday, March 25th, University of Arizona in Tucson, my alma mater, on Saturday the 26th, and Oklahoma City on March 29th. And I know I've heard from some fans that, like, how come you guys don't update the calendar on your website?
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, we're really going to try to make that happen, yes. Especially since we have more like film nerd shows, which are May 20th in Barstow, California, and May 26th in Bellingham, Washington.
And those tickets for the Bellingham show are actually already on sale.
They're already on sale. So we will we'll put that link on our Facebook page.
Already did. Already on there.
Okay. Yeah. And the other thing, too, we forgot to mention, like, the more you guys just like our Comedy Film Nerds fan page, that helps us get, like, advertisers through Facebook. And stuff.
And
like
you guys have been really good about contacting us about coming to your town. I mean, if you work with us and set some up, you know, we've got a lot of fans that are looking into venues and prices mm-hmm. and trying to make the numbers work, and we appreciate that. I think we might be coming to Bowling Green, Kentucky.
We're looking at Bowling Green. Mm-hmm. We already have the show in Bellingham. The reason I was in Seattle last night was because Tristan at Laugh Hole contacted me about doing
sure.
it. So, and we'll be back there. Chris and I will be back there within the year.
Yes.
So,
and we'll probably do some LA shows as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks again to our guest.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, man.
Sure. Oh, and for the, I wanted to mention this too. Grant's going to do another song for the extra on the iPhone and Droid app.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really good song. It's called Patrick the Spoiler.
Ooh.
About someone who spoils movies. So you can get that only on the app.
Is Darth Vader really Luke's dad? So yeah, that'll be on the iPhone app, which is also available. It's a Droid app.
Yes,
and
Droid app.
BlackBerry, I believe, now, too.
Not yet.
So shut up.
Yeah.
And be patient for Afghanistan, you guys.
We appreciate it, folks.
Very much appreciate there. And again, donations and thoughts and prayers for everybody in Japan, especially Sandy, big fan of Japan. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. Thanks for listening.
And remember,
Han shot first.